Welcome back.
Great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring innovation mindsets and creative thinking.
Which is such a massive topic.
It really is.
Right.
And if you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Because it really is a skill, right? It's not just some innate talent.
Exactly. And I think our mission today is really about demystifying innovation for you. It's not just some, you know, abstract corporate buzzword. It's an actual tangible, practical toolkit for your future career.
Yeah. And it has to be because the reality of the digital landscape we are stepping into, I mean, it operates at a staggering pace.
Oh, absolutely.
Every single month there's a new software update or, you know, a new generative AI tool that supposedly changes everything.
Right. It's exhausting just trying to keep up.
It is. And that's why trying to compete purely on technical proficiency, it's kind of a losing game. Those hard skills have a strict expiration date now. But the core human skills like curiosity, cognitive flexibility, just being open to new paradigms, those are the most powerful engines for growth. If you have an open mindset, you can just learn whatever new tool comes along to replace the old one.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because terms like innovation, they get thrown around so much they start to lose their meaning, don't they?
Oh, completely.
It starts to sound like something that only happens in like a multi-billion dollar tech lab in Silicon Valley.
Right, like you have to be wearing a lab coat to innovate.
Exactly. So just to ground us, how do we define the fundamental difference between creative thinking and innovation based on the lesson?
Well, it helps to view them as a sequence, really. Creative thinking is the engine. It's exploring new perspectives, finding alternative solutions. It's looking at a problem and forcing your brain to map out five different ways around it.
Okay, so it's the internal process.
Yeah, exactly. And then innovation is the output of that engine, is the active process of improving an idea, a system, a product, or a process. So if creative thinking is the friction of exploring possibilities, innovation is the result that actually adds value.
That makes total sense. I mean, people often think innovation means inventing the iPhone from scratch, right?
Yeah, that's the classic example.
But based on this lesson, it's more like tweaking a recipe until it's perfect or, you know, realizing you can actually bake it instead of fry it.
That is a phenomenal analogy.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is exactly why a growth mindset is the crucial third pillar here.
Because you have to be willing to mess up the recipe a few times.
Exactly. Remaining open to learning and experimentation, that's what elevates your career readiness in this digital economy. A fixed mindset assumes the recipe can never be changed. A growth mindset asks, you know, what variable haven't we tested yet?
Right.
It's a difference between being paralyzed by the fear of doing it wrong and being motivated by the possibility of doing it better.
Okay, but let's transition this to the broader workplace, because I want to know why organizations are currently prioritizing these specific traits over purely technical skills.
Well, look at the values listed in the source material. Organizations are incredibly hungry for innovation, creativity, adaptability, initiative, and problem solving.
But why those specifically?
Because they directly improve your workplace contribution. They drive internal entrepreneurship and foster leadership.
Okay, let me push back on that for a second. Playing devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
If I'm just starting my career, right? I'm an entry-level hire. Leadership and entrepreneurship, those sound like CEO problems.
Right.
They don't sound like entry-level problems. So why should I care right now?
That is such a common concern. But let's look at what actually happens in a day-to-day job. Initiative and adaptability. Those are the exact things that help young professionals navigate daily challenges.
Give me an example.
Okay, say it's a Friday afternoon. A critical software integration suddenly fails, and a major client deliverable is totally stalled.
Oh, nightmare scenario. Everyone is panicking.
Exactly. Now, the standard fixed mindset response is to submit a ticket to IT and just sit back.
Right, like I did my job. It's out of my hands.
Yeah, but the client is still waiting. The person who demonstrates an innovation mindset doesn't just wait. They map out a temporary workaround.
So they take initiative.
Yes. They realize that, hey, the automated system is down, but I can export the raw data, throw it in a pivot table, and deliver a simplified version to the client right now.
Oh, wow.
You didn't rebuild the broken software, that is IT's job, but you adapted to the friction point. And when leadership looks at who to promote, they're looking for the person who ensures the outcome survives the friction. That stands out in any role.
That is a great point. So what does this all mean for our daily digital workflows?
Well, the core strategies are to ask questions, challenge assumptions, and explore multiple perspectives.
Right. And the lesson resources mention some really specific practical digital tools for this, like Miro, Canva, and Notion.
Yeah, and we shouldn't just look at those as software programs.
What do you mean?
They are actually digital environments that enable creative thinking. The environment you think in shapes the thoughts you can have.
Okay, break that down for me, like with Miro.
So Miro is a digital whiteboard. On the surface, it's just a place to put virtual sticky notes. But cognitively, it is a spatial environment. When you use a standard word processor, the software forces your brain into linear thinking.
Point A, then point B, then point C.
Exactly. It creates this artificial hierarchy of ideas before you even know what the ideas are. But creative thinking thrives on connecting unrelated concepts.
Right. So with Miro, you can just throw a messy web of fragmented ideas onto a canvas.
Yes. You literally visually map out alternative solutions from a bird's eye perspective. You might draw a line between a customer complaint in one corner and a supply chain issue in another. It breaks you out of that linear trap.
I actually had a massive breakthrough with this recently using Canva.
Yeah,
I was stuck trying to write this really dense project proposal. The text was just a wall of jargon. So I forced myself to open Canva and build the proposal as an infographic instead.
That's a great exercise.
It really was. Limiting myself to shapes and visual hierarchy forced me to cut the noise. And I realized my core argument was missing a whole logical step.
Because you were exploring a new creative perspective.
Exactly. The visual constraint clarified my underlying thinking.
And that's exactly how Canva enables creative thinking. And then you have a tool like Notion.
Which I think most people just use as a digital filing cabinet.
Right, which completely misses its potential. Notion is amazing for documenting experiments and gathering feedback. You can build relational databases of past failures and successes. It basically creates an institutional memory of your creative thinking.
So they aren't just apps, they're like digital workbenches. Okay, so seeing these tools as environments makes me think about team dynamics. Because having a breakthrough by yourself is one thing. Doing it with five other people is way harder. Let's talk about that real-world case study from the lesson. The student entrepreneurship team working on product development.
Yes, the group project scenario.
Right. Because brainstorming is a classic group activity, but how did this team specifically change their product development outcome? We've all been trapped in a room where the loudest person just dictates the whole project.
Oh, we absolutely have. And what's fascinating about this case study is that their success wasn't just from having one great idea.
It rarely is.
Right. It was from specifically encouraging open brainstorming and forcing the exploration of alternative solutions.
How did they force it?
Well, the most common psychological trap in group brainstorming is the anchoring bias. The first decent idea gets written on the board, and everyone just stops trying to find a new idea. They just make minor adjustments to that first one.
Because everyone's tired, and the path of least resistance is right there.
Exactly. But this team actively bypassed that comfort. They didn't settle for the first idea. They iteratively improved it by requiring the group to map out completely different architectures simultaneously.
Wait, so they didn't just agree on an app and move on?
No. They had to explore, like, what if it's a physical service? What if it's a completely different model?
That directly correlates with the earlier point about challenging assumptions.
Exactly. They allowed the friction of disagreement to refine the product, rather than letting the loudest voice shut down the process.
Which naturally leads us to the concept of taking risks, right? Exploring alternative solutions and challenging assumptions. It sounds great in theory.
Right.
But it also sounds like a great way to break things or make really costly errors in a professional setting. Like if I just start experimenting with the company's main database.
Right. Please don't do that.
Yeah. My boss would not be thrilled.
And this is where responsible innovation comes in. We have to draw a hard line between reckless disruption and actually learning from mistakes and feedback, which is a core strategy in the lesson.
So what does responsible innovation actually look like?
It means creating safe environments for curiosity. You don't test a radical new workflow on your biggest client's live account.
You test it on a dummy account first.
Exactly. You build a prototype. Mm. You actively seek out feedback and ask a mentor to poke holes in your logic. Responsible use means treating your ideas as hypotheses.
And when the hypothesis is wrong,
you extract the data. Mistakes are just data points for improvement rather than failures. That's how you innovate responsibly.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, because I want to challenge our listeners to actually do this today.
I love it.
We have a practical application activity from the lesson. Let's walk through it as a step-by-step guide.
Okay, step one, choose one common everyday problem.
Right, not a massive existential crisis, just something annoying in your daily digital routine, yeah, like your messy inbox or how your study group shares files.
Yeah, pick a small friction point. And yep, then instead of just complaining about it, we want you to actively generate four things.
First, map out multiple solutions. Don't stop at the first one. Find three more.
Second, generate creative alternatives. If your first solutions were all about buying new software, force yourself to find a human behavior alternative.
Right, like maybe just doing a five-minute stand-up meeting instead of using an app.
Exactly. Third, look at the existing process and generate improvement ideas, just small tweaks.
And finally, generate possible implementation strategies. How would you actually pitch this change to your team?
Practicing this on small, low-stakes problems, that is how you build creative confidence.
It's cognitive conditioning.
Yes. You're building the neural pathways of an innovator. So when you face high-stakes workplace challenges, this instinct is automatic.
I love that. Start with the small stuff. As we wrap up, I want to leave you with the core reflection prompt from this lesson.
This is an important one.
Yeah. Ask yourself this. How can curiosity and creative thinking improve innovation and problem solving in my future career?
It really is the defining question for anyone entering the workforce right now. The tools are going to change, but your ability to stay curious, be responsible, and remain future ready, that is what counts.
Absolutely. And to everyone listening, we strongly encourage you to review the end of module study guide.
And definitely complete the workbook activities.
Yes, those are crucial for locking this all in.
We also want to acknowledge the foundational texts and resources that inform this module. If you want to dive deeper, you should check out the books Creative Confidence, Mindset, and The Innovator's Dilemma.
Some true classics in there.
Definitely. And also, a lot of the practical frameworks are supported by educational resources from the Stanford D School, MIT, and Harvard. They are phenomenal reference materials for your journey.
Fantastic. So before we sign off, what is one final provocative thought we can leave the listener with? Something for them to mull over today.
Well, if innovation is really just improvement, what is one established rule in your own daily routine that is long overdue for a creative upgrade?
Oh, I like that. We all have those habits we just do on autopilot.
Exactly. Find one and challenge it.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening. Stay curious and keep innovating.
We'll see you in the next one.